Good morning. Thank you, Sebastian. So we'll try it one more time. Good morning. Hi, everybody, and welcome to day one of Fellowship Week. Yesterday was capturing you into the spirit of ICANN. I mean, getting you into one room from 9:30 till 5 and putting all of our newcomers through the paces of an introduction into ICANN. And today, from the bonding that you did yesterday and the learning, we start kind of our own private path through the ICANN community. So this morning I want to welcome Lac Raylo, the representatives from Lac Raylo and from At Large, who will be joining us, the fellowship, 27 of us here from the fellowship, who will be joining us every morning from 7:30 to 8, so that you can enjoy and participate with some of our community leaders as they talk to our fellows a little bit about their role in the community, maybe even how they arrived here in the community, because we all kind of still look around and wonder, how did we come to the seat at the table? You know, and a lot of our new folks this week will be doing that. You know, you kind of feel like after yesterday, okay, I get it, Janice, and everyone said I belong, and this is where I am. And there are points during the week that you might start to second guess that after witnessing the community talking amongst themselves. And you kind of think, you know, do I belong? And so remember what we talked about yesterday. By virtue of registering, by virtue of taking the first step to come to an ICANN meeting, taking the first step to applying for the fellowship, and being chosen out of so many to be here, and for our Lac Raylo representatives to have this package put together for you so that you can enjoy the capacity-building programs that your counselors and your representatives at At-Large put together for you. By virtue of all that, you all belong here. We would like you to be engaged. We'd like to hear your voice. We'd like to hear your questions. This is all interactive. This is not sitting in a study room where you have to just listen to the presenter and then walk out with your notes. This is about, in 1 minute, laptops down. So get ready. I'm watching them. They're going to go down. I know they will. If you need translation, please put the headsets on. We have translation provided very kindly with our wonderful folks here in the back of the room. So I'm still watching the laptops going down. There they go. I know you can do it. It's a huge disconnect. I know. It's blowing your minds to put that computer down. But we have our first presenter this morning, or our first community member who is here to engage you, I should say, and welcoming the community, Marilyn Cade, who is the chair of the business constituency, which is part of the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization. So with that, I would like to welcome Marilyn, and please give her your full attention.
I see a few veterans here, so I have to open my comments by saying, my name is Marilyn Cade. And by the time you leave this meeting, you too are going to be following that practice of opening every comment you make publicly when you're at the microphone with your name. And let me explain why I do it. I am probably one of the most highly visible members of the community, having helped to found ICANN. I was, in fact, the business person who helped to organize business to participate in the pre-ICANN days and in the green paper and the white paper. So I have been here for a very long time. I am highly visible when you see me, but I'm not highly recognizable online if you're participating remotely if I don't tell you who I am. So as a courtesy, I try very hard to practice that. But you will find people who don't remember to do that. So pick that up as the number one tip for me. When you speak at the microphone, and do speak at the microphone, remember to tell people who you are. It's always a pleasure to come and talk to the fellowship program. And I did live through the early efforts at ICANN when we were trying to do something like this. We learned a lot from those early efforts, but weren't having nearly the success that I'm seeing now. What I'd like to do is tell you about the business constituency, tell you a little bit about the two pieces of paper I gave you, introduce a couple of people who are here with me, and I'm going to do those introductions right now if I might. So you have two pieces of paper. One of them has little thumbnail pictures and names of the officers and the secretariat and our website and some key documents that you may find useful. Let me introduce Elisa Cooper, who is in the back of the room, and Elisa is here with me. I think you probably need to stand. Elisa is our newest officer. I'm going to quickly explain the organizational structure of the BC, and Benedetta Rossi, who is our secretariat. And just to prove that we're able to take a global perspective, our secretary, I live in Washington, D.C., or actually on United Airlines, and Benedetta lives in Nice. So we have a distributed face to the BC, and with your help, I hope we're going to increase the diversity of the participation in the BC. The business constituency is one of three of the commercial non-contracted party constituencies. So a few years ago, the board, in its infinite wisdom, or maybe not so much, decided to divide the GNSO constituencies into houses. It's kind of a bizarre little concept, but okay. And in the house, there were going to be different constituencies. So we have a contracted party's house, and that's the registries and registrars. And then we have a non-contracted party's house, and that's the business constituency. So that other piece of paper you have in front of you is a schematic that the business constituency put together and published at the last meeting in Dakar, because we found that drawing the organizational structure of ICANN on the back of a cocktail napkin was not the most effective way to explain ICANN. You can find that schematic on our website, and it's there as just the two-page printout. So it may be a tool for you if you're doing outreach in your community, because it has the little pictures of the board, it has the overall structure. Inside the GNSO, the business constituency plays two roles. We, first of all, by the bylaws, have a responsibility to participate in the formation of GTLD policy. In addition to that, the business constituency believes that it is our responsibility to focus on the security and stability of ICANN and to take a leadership role about the larger issues of governance of ICANN and the governance issues of the Internet. So that is not part of our bylaw requirement. That is part of what our members want and what is attracting business to be involved in the business community, constituency. We file policy positions, not just at the GNSO, but at ICANN on the budget, on the strategic plan, on the conflicts of interest. You will hear our members going to the microphone when the CEO search is discussed and telling the board what the characteristics of the next CEO should be. So we take a very broad view of the importance of contributing to governance of ICANN overall, and then specifically on policy within the generic namespace. Some policy issues take us into relationships with other supporting organizations. Who is, for instance? And we have a fairly strong leadership role on the issues related to security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet's infrastructure beyond the contracted party's role. One of the things that the board forgets and the staff forget, how many ISPs are there here? Any? So guess what? Registries and registrars don't run the Internet. ISPs do. Registries and registrars play a critical role in the DNS, but they don't run the Internet. So recursive servers are not run by the registries and registrars. So when we look at the security and stability issues,
We think we have to pay attention to the SSAC, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. We think we have to pay attention to the new work that's going on in risk. And I tell you that because when you just read about the BC, you're not going to see that tapestry of activity. So let me tell you how you can participate with us throughout the week. Our members typically arrive on Friday and participate in workshops over the Saturday and Sunday. Not everyone will come. We're very fortunate that at this particular meeting, we have well over 50% of our members here. We are usually outside of the contracted party's house. We are usually the constituency that has the largest participation because we also try to do outreach in the region. And that's where I hope we're going to be able to begin to work with some of you when you go home. We will be at a couple of workshops today, and one in particular I'm going to commend to you. There's a workshop today, not only on ethics, but later in the day at 16:30, there's a workshop on ICANN and the Internet governance landscape. So that's an issue that's really important to us, and personally, taking off my BC chair hat, I am very involved in the IGF itself, the Internet Governance Forum. As a matter of fact, I am the chief catalyst of the IGF USA, one of the national and regional initiatives, and I'm doing a study on the national and regional initiatives as one of the projects that I'm doing in my business. So the linkage between what I call the two sister organizations, ICANN and the IGF, are very important. There's a lot of risk right now that it's sort of this phrase, so how many government people do we have here? Oh, yeah, working in the government? So a number of years ago when I was first getting really heavily involved in this, my first PowerPoint presentation had a slide that said, so if the internet is so important, why is the UN not in charge? And the question is not meant to be facetious. As the online world becomes more and more important to us, then its stability, its resiliency, its accessibility becomes more and more important. ICANN has a certain role to play in this, but so do lots of other organizations. And that workshop is going to address the relationships and the activities going on. So you'll see a lot of business folks there, as well as others, and we'll have a couple of business folks that will be speaking from the floor. Tomorrow, Constituency Day, we will meet a couple of times, and I hope for those of you who are interested, you'll come find us, and if you can sit through our meeting, we would love to have you. We start with a breakfast, which is closed with the GAC, but then we have an hour where we'll be preparing for an interaction with the board. We meet with the board in a closed session from 11:15 to 12:15. It is webcast, so you can see what we say. We'll be telling the board in a very candid way, that's what business people do, huh, what our priorities and concerns and interests are for ICANN. The board's really interested right now, and so are we, in what is it going to mean to introduce potentially hundreds of new GTLDs? Is it going to have a destabilizing effect on how people experience the World Wide Web? Will we have a challenge in the acceptance of certain strings because the users don't recognize them? But this is also going to make potentially a big difference in ICANN's house structure in the GNSO that I mentioned before, because a number of companies who hold trademarks are thinking about applying to run a registry. I'm not going to comment on whether I think that's a stupid idea, a naive idea, or a good idea. But the point is that when they do that, they then become a contracted party. And so now we have to figure out, what's the firewall? Do I have a trademark, a company that owns a big trademark or a small trademark, and now they're running a registry, but they also are primarily concerned about the business user issues in the rest of their business. For any company, any trademark owner that decides to run a registry,
unless they're doing it because they're an ISP and they're going to turn their brand into their total face, most companies will be running a very thin registry, and it'll be a very small part of their overall business. And I'll just pick on Canon, because Canon has said that they're interested. So Canon has this idea that they've gone public about, that then, you know, they sell through the distributorships and franchises. They have a large number of products. But the rest of Canon's business, that might be a distribution arm, but the rest of their business is still going to be research, development of products, distribution of products. So there's going to be, they're going to have like a little little business unit inside the bigger company. So this is all a very complicated discussion that we're going to be going through over the next probably 6 to 9 months. And you guys, I think, will be hearing more about it. And you're going to be hearing about it as, what should ICANN's structure look like? So that's kind of a big term that could mean a lot of things. But that what's driving it are two things, in my view, and that is this question of how do we maintain balance across in the policy area, and then what is ICANN's role going to be as the larger issues get dealt with, like SSR, security, stability, and resiliency, risk, things like threats from Anonymous and others that they're going to attack the Internet's infrastructure, and the DNS, does that mean ICANN's structure and its functions need to change in order to address those larger issues? We'll be taking those up in the BC. We do hold conference calls with our members. They are transcribed, and the transcriptions are public, so if you decide you're interested, I'll have to tell you our calls are pretty boring, but if you decide you're interested in learning more about the BC, Benny has business cards with her, and just she'll leave a few with Janice. And I would just ask you guys to write your name and your email on it, and leave a piece of paper or something with Janice, so that we can get back in touch with you. We'll be in lots of other workshops. The reason you have the little thumbnail picture of the officers is hopefully you'll be able to recognize us. And you'll probably see me at the microphone. And once again, my name is Marilyn Cade. So, questions?
Je voudrais juste faire un commentaire sur deux choses. C'est le premier matin, donc première matinée. Donc, il faut quand même se relaxer un peu. Ça va aller. Le micro est là devant vous. Vous savez que vous avez une voix. On en a parlé hier. Vous avez une opportunité, une possibilité le matin d'avoir du face-à-face avec les orateurs, avec les leaders de la communauté. Ne manquez pas cette possibilité de poser des questions. Il n'y a pas de questions bêtes. Nous, ça fait 5 ans qu'on est là. Et moi, je dois toujours poser des questions. Et je dis toujours ce que je pense. Et quand elle vient et les autres membres de la communauté viennent parler, moi, j'apprends toujours quelque chose de nouveau. Ce que j'ai appris ce matin, déjà, c'est que sur le site web, on voit une bonne description des groupes constitutifs. Et sous cela, c'est ce que vous devez explorer aujourd'hui et demain dans les ateliers, les sessions dont Marlène a parlé. Ne prenez pas ça comme ça très facilement. Regardez dessous, entre les lignes, ce qui représente la communauté européenne, ICANN. Et que ce soit à partir des régions géographiques ou la structure de ICANN, les concentrations qui sont faites pour les meetings ICANN, faites attention à tous ces petits problèmes. Si vous ne pensez pas bien, si vous n'êtes pas un leader de business, ou si vous n'êtes pas un role business, ouvrez votre esprit et essayez de comprendre que ce n'est pas forcément ou exactement ce dont nous parlons. Il y a beaucoup plus à faire ici. Certainement, c'est la représentation. Mais sous cela, entre les lignes, il y a un contenu où vous pouvez vous faire entendre. Et c'est cette valeur-là que vous devez voir. Il y a donc une perspective que vous pouvez donner. Et Marilyn l'a dit, elle a parlé de ISP. Je sais que pour vous, les acronymes sont encore un petit peu difficiles. Fournisseur de services Internet, ISP, c'est important dans notre vie de tous les jours, ce mot. Et donc, ces ISP sont dans les nouveaux GTLD, dans les demandeurs de nouveaux GTLD, ce que ça veut dire et ainsi de suite. Donc, je voulais juste dire ça. Relaxez un peu, mettez votre doigt sur le micro. Si vous voulez demander à Marilyn quoi que ce soit, vous l'a dit au début, elle est là. Elle est là depuis, même avant le début de ICANN. Donc, c'est elle qui peut... D'ailleurs, on ne peut pas me blâmer pour toutes les mauvaises décisions que l'on a prises à l'ICANN, au fait. Je vais aussi dire, nous sommes très intéressés au comment... Enfin, c'est dur de... pour les groupes constitutifs, de vraiment soutenir le travail de proximité dans vos régions avec vous. Je suis vraiment contente de dire que nous avons deux nouveaux membres dans le BC qui sont venus à travers du programme des boursiers, Gabi et Cilia. Ils seront aussi capables de vous parler de leur expérience et ils ont rejoint donc le BC. Ce sont vraiment des membres tout nouveaux. Ils sont là pour apprendre à propos du programme. Si vous voulez avoir plus d'informations sur le programme de Bourdicien, nous cherchons à voir ce que nous pouvons faire plus vis-à-vis du travail de proximité, plus d'interaction avec les gens, de voir ce qui se passe dans les régions ou dans un endroit où on a des membres. Je voudrais donc vous parler du groupe de membres que nous avons. Nous avons une association nous sommes membres. Il y a beaucoup. Nous sommes membres d'un groupe de membres qui s'appelle WebSA. Ils ont des associations dans 81 pays. 70% de ces pays sont des pays en voie de développement. Nous avons commencé avec eux. Nous avons déjà 4 actifs au Nigeria, au Kenya. Costa Rica devient de plus en plus actif avec nous. Nous avons une relation aussi très active avec la région de Nina, qui a amené 4 ministres et 60 businessmen arabes aux États-Unis avec eux. Et nous étions avec eux quand ils étaient là. Donc, ils font une conférence qui s'appelle Mina quelque chose à la fin de l'année. Et nous allons faire...
workshop there. So it's not called ICANN, but it's coming out of our work at ICANN with these business leaders and then the effort to keep in touch with them. It's easier for us to work with associations who have staff or who have a board of directors because we're all volunteers, but that's not the only way to work with us. We have a number of other associations. We're hoping to continue to actually proposing to do our own local leaders program, which would involve our taking 2 association execs per region in 3 of the regions, doing a partnership with them, and then working with Janice and the fellowship program here so that part of the experience they have would be part of the fellowship, but then we would own the responsibility of maintaining ongoing work with them. So it's going to start small. If we are able to do it, it would only be 6 people this next year, one in the Arab region, one in Africa, and one in Latin America or in the Caribbean. So I need to stop talking so somebody else can talk. Yes.
Good morning. My name is Fatima Cambronero. I have 2 hats here, fellowship and a RALO member. Uh-huh. I have a question. Why do you think that the structure of ICANN should change in the future? Thank you.
So I did tell you I've been around since ICANN didn't exist, right? When we founded ICANN, there were 4 staff. The first president and CEO was named Mike Roberts. We had a $1.3 million line of credit and his personal credit card. And look where we are today. So the structure has to evolve in order to serve the interest that we need to serve in order to fulfill our mission. And we also had a breakthrough. When we founded ICANN, the white paper specifically said, and we called it NUCO then because we didn't have a name for the organization yet, right? The bylaws specifically said that ICANN must be a public interest, not-for-profit corporation. Those words are in the documents that NUCO had to agree. Well, we somehow along the way, in my personal view, lost our identity of what it means to act in the public interest in the decisions we make. And we became highly commercialized in our attitudes over the past few years. The affirmation of commitment signed in 2009, where the Department of Commerce in the United States negotiated this different relationship, a kind of a handoff relationship to ICANN, and said, so stop saying you're accountable to the U.S. Department of Commerce and acknowledge that you are accountable to the global stakeholders, and you must act in the public interest. So incorporating what that means when you're a standard-setting body, when you're a policy-setting body, when you have a responsibility to create awareness, interest, and informed participation in decision-making. You know, there are lots of people, and I understand this, there are lots of people who think that because I use the internet that I'm qualified to make policy, including technical policy, about the internet. Well, here's what I used to say about business people in 1998 and 1999 when they would want to jump up and down about how they could set technical policy. I'd say, so how's this go for you? When you get up in the morning, before you brush your teeth, you're going to decide how many digits there should be in IPv6. Business people know a lot of things, but some technical policy issues take other skills and other knowledge. So one of the things we do at ICANN is bring the different opinions and positions and the subject matter experts together. And as our challenges change, the structure is going to have to evolve to make sure it's continuing to bring in the rest of the participants who can contribute to informed decision making and informed policy. The introduction of the RALOs, the introduction of the ALAC itself, right? Those were innovations that we didn't know when we founded ICANN. We didn't know how we could, I mean, you know, we knew lots of individuals.
Excuse me, Marilyn, they're just asking that you come closer to the mic.
Sorry. So we didn't actually know what structure we could use to reach individuals in a more distributed way. So I have one here and then here.
Hi, Marilyn. Hi, everybody. I'm Gabriela from Argentina. It's my first meeting. I have a question.
Okay.
What did the collaboration from the point of view, the business constituency, in the elaboration of the GTLD applicant guidebook from its point of view?
Okay.
Before it's approbation.
Okay. I'm going to take two more questions, and then I'll just try to answer the questions as I go through. So the collaboration on the new GTLD guidebook and maybe the view of the business community constituency on the guidebook. Another question over here, I think. Yes.
Thank you. My name is Sintra Suknanan. I'm from La Crallo. I have a question with regard to the NPOC. I'd like you to speak a little bit about that, as well as if there's any overlap you see with at-large and its functions. And as well, I'd like to know when the results of the elections will be.
And if I can just let you know that NPOC, Alan, will be here on Wednesday, just so that you know.
Okay.
Not to stop you from answering,
okay.
But I wanted,
okay.
For the record.
The NPOC elections. Okay. I'm going to answer the last question first. You have to ask him, but it's going to be fairly soon. So let me just say something quickly about the NPOC. The business constituency was a very big fan of standing up a constituency that supports active participation of the rest of the not-for-profit community. When we founded ICANN, we had a number of not-for-profits who were involved, but we also had a number of what I'm going to call civil activists and academics who are sort of deeply subject matter experts, but they're not service-oriented NGOs. And we lost the participation of many of those NGOs over time. So we needed to rebuild that. And actually, it's a requirement that we have that broad community involved. So the MPOC is a method to draw those NGOs back into ICANN and to design something that works for them, for their voice. ICANN, when they created the house, we had this joke in which we, because there are a certain number of disagreements. I see Sebastian is here. There's a certain number of disagreements on issues between the business community and some civil society activists on particular topics. So we had this thing we said to the board of, so you're moving us into a house, but I'm not sure you're moving us into a neighborhood, but I'm not sure that the neighbors are going to get along all that well. They had the idea that if they put us into the same structure, somehow this would change and build the kinds of understandings or agreements. NPOC is like a new entrant. For an ISP or any of you who are familiar with the telco world, the NPOC is like a new entrant. And the guy who's already there is going to have to move over and make space for the new entrant. That's always challenging. But they've done a great job of building participation, and we're very excited about it as the business constituency. I don't see a lot of overlap because, like, for instance, the Better Business Bureau, which originally applied to them, is coming over to join the BC because they're a business-oriented not-for-profit. So they belong with us, while the International Red Cross belongs with them. Sorry? The MPOC. The guy.
And Marilyn, if I could for a minute, I know the Heidi, you would like to have this be a break for you to take your folks out. Can we wait for the one more question? Are you guys okay? All right, and then we need to let Marilyn get on with her day as well.
Okay. The guidebook. Okay, so I was on the council when we first started developing the policy. And at one point, the priority, we had an agreement that the GTLDs that were going to be introduced, the priority would be IDNs and what we called community-facing GTLDs. And I left the council, and, you know, the world kind of went to hell in a handbasket. That's a joke. But we now are in an environment where it's going to be a very complicated introduction, and we're seeing that. It is a complex process to apply, be awarded, and run. From the business constituency's point of view, it should be complicated, and it should be expensive. And let me explain why we say that. We don't want the GTLDs to fall over. So expensive is probably the wrong word, but it needs to be effective. And so there may need to be mechanisms to help applicants from developing countries to be able to meet some of the financial standards, but they must meet the technical standards. And they must be sustainable. We can't introduce GTLDs in the developing countries that fall over. We would be putting at risk the emergence of whole new communications mechanisms for the new entrants, the entrepreneurs, the civil society, the government users, citizens. So for us, making sure that the standards are effective and making sure that the systems are reliable is really a priority. Some of the complexity, I think, is going to have to still be dealt with because we were talking about the technical parts of applying for the application, and some countries the systems that ICANN is building may have to take into account the submission, the difference. The requirements of applicants in that region for how they apply. But I think those changes can still be made. I will say we have a colleague from business on the GNSO Council from Nigeria, and he has begun now raising questions and trying to talk to the staff, educating them a bit more about some of the challenges that he thinks are going to exist from his experience as a businessman, and I'm hoping that in this at this meeting and in the next few weeks and months that the staff are going to be able to hear more from folks that are thinking about applying about how the proposed approach is going to impact their ability to apply.
And we do have to wrap up here because Marilyn has to get on with her morning. But Cadian, I will take the question from you and I will get it to Marilyn and make sure that the two of you can have a chat.
Janice, if you want to take other questions and put them in email.
Absolutely.
I'm happy to take other questions, and I hope we will see some of you in our sessions, or if you see us, or you see Benny, or you see Elisa, and you're looking to meet with talk with some of the other business folks, then do consider us really interested in hearing more from you.
Great, and we'll highlight those in our week agenda, Marilyn, so that they're seeing that focus, and we've got Gabby and Celia to help us spread the word as well. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Jose.
Yes. Hello, all. My name is Jose Arce. I'm the chair of LACRALO, and I want to, on behalf of LACRALO, the secretariat, Deb, raise your hand so all you can know you. And me, I want to thank you, Janice. I want to thank all the fellows here to open the doors for our region to be here. So thank you, Janice. That's all.
Thank you. And Jose is an alumni of the fellowship program. So another point for you to go to, Natalia, Fatima, all alumni of the program. So look to them for any advice as well during the week. Sebastian, do you just want to say quickly hello and welcome from the board?
Thank you, Janice. I don't know if I will say hello from the board, but at least I will say hello from Sébastien Bachelet. My name is Sébastien Bachelet. I am a member of the board. I was selected by the at-large, and I start my office 9 of December 2010. It's a pleasure to be with you. I always dream of something like that when I join ICANN. It was a painful travel when the first 2 years to understand all that. You have in 1 week what I get in 2 years, then it's really great. Take that as a big advantage to understand the organization and to be able to contribute. What we need you is to not just to come this week and not to come next meeting, but to be engaged in between meetings as much as possible. As you can't do everything, pick one place you want to be. And you will be able to change if it's not the right one, or if you change the situation, or if you change your mind. I start with the BC for 2 or 3 years, and Marilyn was very helpful in helping me to understand the organization and other people from the BC. And then when I left the organization I was working for, I became chair of the ISOC French chapter, and I start to be engaged with the creation of the definitive at-large structure in ILAC. And it's now 5 years, and in 5 years we have seen a lot of change. You will, I am sure, get a presentation about the at-large. The board, it's a strange animal. And I am here because I don't want you to think that because we are board member, we are out of your reach, that you can't talk to us, that you can't touch us. If at least you have one board member, I am here to talk with you, to help you if you need. And the board is just one element of this organization. And it's not the most important. It's one part, and each part of the organization are important. And it's why we need new blood in every part. We need new ideas. We need more stakeholder participation, and it's why I would like very much to urge you to participate, and once again to participate constantly in between the meeting. There is a lot of things going on. The conference call, working groups, constituency, and so on this organization. Pick one and do it, and it will be great for the whole internet. And have a good week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian, as always. Sebastian has been a supporter and a friend and is an amazing mentor and guide through the program. Whether it's this week or when you come back, you can always search him out. He'll always find a place for you at the dinner table and anywhere else he goes. And I so appreciate that you always extend that welcome to the fellows. Thank you, Sebastian. Okay, guys, I'm going to let the Lacrelo go ahead out. Thank you very much, and we'll see you guys tomorrow morning when your own Olivier will be here at 7:30. For my fellows, if you want to just stand up and stretch a little bit, we've got some coffee and juice back here, and we will get the presentation for our alumni who are members of the Government Advisory Committee. We'll get their presentation up while you just stretch your legs for a minute, okay?